Child support is one of the hottest topics on this podcast, and it arouses a lot of emotions. Separate parents frequently think that the amount of child support is wrong right from the start. But over time, changes in parents' incomes and changes in parenting schedules can mean the amount of child support does become wrong. In this episode of the Ontario Family Law Podcast, I'll explain what you have to do to change child support. I'm John Schumann, a certified specialist in family law in Ontario. I'm also a mediator, arbitrator, and collaborative lawyer. This podcast is a companion to my book, Guide to the Basics of Ontario Family Law, which is available on the iBookstore, Amazon, Kobo, and in fine bookstores. Child support. Since the child support guidelines came into existence more than 20 years ago, there have been repeated attempts to make calculating and recalculating child support simple, easy, and predictable. In previous episodes, I went over the specifics of how child support is calculated, including how it is calculated for step-parents, non-biological parents, and others, and how special and extraordinary expenses work. I also went over some frequent mistakes in calculating child support. Follow the links in the description or on the screen to get that information. This episode is going to look at how to change child support when the amount becomes wrong. If the judge got it wrong the first time around, then the only option is to appeal. A parent cannot go back to a judge later and say that child support needs to be changed because it was originally set wrong. Outside of an appeal, the only way a judge can change support is if there has been a change in the incomes of the parents that makes a meaningful change to the amount of child support, or if the parenting arrangements change in a way that affects child support, or if there is a change to Section 7 expenses, or if a child starts living away from home for school, or if a child is no longer entitled to support. It is always important to change child support properly because if there is an agreement or a court order out there that sets an amount of support and the parents just don't follow it, there's always the possibility that a parent will file or refile that agreement with the Family Responsibility Office and ask for the original support amount to be enforced retroactively. That can result in one parent owing the other a huge amount of money. The easiest way to change support is by agreement. If the parents have a separation agreement that sets support, then they can sign a new agreement that changes the support. That agreement will stand up if the parents exchanged income disclosure and had enough legal advice to make sure the agreement sets support that at least meets the requirements of the child support guidelines. If the original agreement was filed with the court so that the FRO would enforce it, the new agreement can also be filed with the court so the FRO will enforce the new amount. If there was a court order, that can still be changed by agreement using a consent motion to change, Form 15C. However, that requires that parents still provide income information to the court so that the court knows that the order is consistent with the child support guidelines. Judges are not receptive when parents try to sneak by child support arrangements that do not provide for the children as required by the child support guidelines. Another, in many cases, simpler process is to use the Ontario government's online support calculation and recalculation service. This service only applies to child support, not spousal support, and can only be used in certain cases. Where a parent is self-employed, earns over $150,000, or where a child is older than 17 and a half years old, or there are shared parenting arrangements, or there are some other situations, then the parents cannot use the service. But for most parents, the service is available to them if they both agree. If one parent puts on an online application, the other parent will be invited to use it too. If both parents agree to use the online service, it will access both parents' tax returns and figure out what the child support obligations is and will advise the FRO to change the amount of support that is collected and paid. The support will also adjust the Section 7 amounts that show up on tax returns, such as child care expenses or reported medical expenses. But there are still many Section 7 expenses, such as extracurricular activities and post-secondary education, that cannot be adjusted using this service. Still, for most people, the online service is an excellent and much less costly alternative to court. The amount of support collected by the FRO is adjusted with both parents never having to leave their home or even their computer desk, and without having to figure out the calculations for themselves. The changes to the family law legislation that came into effect in March 2021 make it mandatory for parents to consider ways to resolve issues without going to court. Judges will ask why parents did not use them. If a parent refused to use the online service and has no good reason for that refusal, the judge may order that parent to pay the other parent's legal fees for going to court. The cost of the online service is very significantly cheaper than even seeing a lawyer for a consultation about going to court. If the parents cannot use the online service because they do not qualify and are having difficulty figuring out or agreeing to changes to child support, then they should give serious consideration to going to mediation or mediation arbitration with a good family lawyer.
Ah.
I have explained the process of mediation and whether mediation is binding, as well as how mediation arbitration works in previous episodes, which will be linked in the description. Again, mediation will be far cheaper and faster than going to court.
Oh.
If you have a knowledgeable family lawyer as the mediator, it can also be much faster and a painless process. At the end of which, you should have an agreement that once signed by both parties can be filed with the court to adjust what the FRO is collecting. Again, if parents choose not to use mediation or mediation arbitration or a collaborative practice to adjust support, the judge will want to know why. If one parent refuses these processes without a good reason, the judge may make that parent pay the other parent's court costs. If there is a spousal support order or agreement that has provisions for changing spousal support, then mediation or mediation arbitration can be used to work out that if negotiations fail. Usually, spousal support orders or agreements set out the circumstances in which spousal support can be changed, and it is always necessary to follow those terms when asking to change spousal support.
Oh.
Where there is no agreement on how to change child support and no agreement to use one of the faster and less expensive options for working out the change, then it may be necessary to go to court. The process for changing support is more simplified than the process used by the parties the first time they went to court. It is called a motion to change, and it is own forms that are designed to steer the parties to address what the court needs to decide. There is much less for the court to deal with because most of the substantive decisions should have been made or settled the first time around in court. So the court is looking at only whether there has been a significant change in the situation of either the parents or the children that justifies a change in support, and if so, how much that change should be. All the steps necessary to change a support order are set out in detail in my book, Guide to the Basics of Ontario Family Law. So if you need more details that are in this video, getting the ebook for $9.99 may be a good investment. All the forms for motion to change start with the number 15, except that the parties may also need a Form 13 financial statement. The party who wants the change uses a Form 15 motion to change form that has a series of questions about the family, the change that is being requested, and the basis for that change. The party asking for the change has to file the completed Form 15 with the court, then arrange for someone else to serve it and swear an affidavit of service. Then the parent has to file the affidavit of service with the court. Most court filing is now done through the court portal. That can be a little bit tricky, so if your documents are being rejected, you may need to speak to a lawyer. Note that affidavit of service and the motion to change forms have to be sworn before a commissioner of oaths before filing them with the court, so it may be necessary to see a lawyer just to do that.
Why don't you have your lawyer call my lawyer?
The parent starting the proceeding must also obtain and file a confirmation of assignment form, which the parent has to submit and get back from the Ministry of Community and Social Services in order to attach it to the motion to change form. This lets the court know if support has been assigned to a government agency because the recipient is receiving government assistance. In addition, the parent starting the proceedings must obtain a director's statement of arrears from the FRO and attach that to the motion to change form as well, before filing it with the court. That document shows whether there are any support arrears under the last agreement or order if the FRO is collecting support. Also, if it is an agreement rather than an order that a party is asking the court to change, the party must file that agreement with the court if it has not already been filed with the court. After being served, the other party has to file a Form 15B response to motion to change, which sets out why what the first party is asking for is inappropriate, and then sets out what the responding parent thinks the correct change should be and why.
Oh.
The response to motion to change is also a sworn document, so it may be necessary to go to a lawyer's office to get it commissioned if the parent did not have a lawyer prepared in the first place. The responding party then serves the first parent and files a response to the motion to change along with an affidavit of service with the court. Within 30 days of serving their respective documents, each parent must also serve all the documents that are necessary to understand his or her income.
Ah.
What is required is set out in sections 24.1 and section 25 of the Child Support Guidelines, so a parent who does not have a lawyer may have to look that up. I have also done previous episodes on disclosure.
Ah.
But to summarize, some of the disclosure that is necessary is as follows. Copies of tax returns for the last 3 years. Copies of notice of assessment as received from the CRA for the last 3 years. The parent's most recent pay stub. Self-employed parents must provide the financial statements for their business, and if they control a corporation or are in a partnership, the financial statements for the corporation or partnership for the last 3 years. If the parent is a beneficiary under a trust, they must provide the trust financial statements for the last 3 years. If the parent has received government assistance payments, then they must provide the details of those payments. Parents must also provide receipts for any claimed Section 7 expenses. There may also be additional documents that are necessary depending on the circumstances of the parties. After those documents are filed with the court, the next step is to have either a case conference or an appointment with a dispute resolution officer. The first thing to be done at that court date is to make sure the forms have been completely filed and properly, and all the necessary disclosure has been exchanged. If it is not, then the matter may be put over to another conference to discuss things further once disclosure is finished, or it can be set to a motion to deal with disclosure if there is no order for it at the first conference. The second thing that is done at a case conference or a DRO conference is trying to settle what the change should be. Most cases are resolved by agreement at this stage and probably should have been resolved prior to going to court. If there is no settlement, then the court will schedule a motion date for the judge to decide what the change should be based on the documents that the parties have filed. It is only in unusual cases where another trial is required to resolve a support issue, as most of the important facts are already determined in the first court case or in the original agreement. The judge will then decide what the change will be. In some courts, this process can be completed in about 6 months, but in many courts, due to backlog, the court process can take over a year. In those circumstances, the court will usually order that the adjustment be retroactive to at least the date the motion to change form was issued by the court office. However, the court can make the change retroactive to before the commencement of the court proceedings if one of the parents put the other parent on notice that a change in support may be appropriate. Giving that notice can be as simple as asking in writing for income disclosure for the purposes of deciding whether a change in support would be appropriate. In previous episodes and in my book and on www.schumannlaw.ca, I have explained all the circumstances in which support can be ordered retroactively and how far back the change can be made. A change that goes back several years can result in a huge payment or repayment of support for one parent that can really hurt, so avoiding those situations is important.
Oh, yeah.
Changing support should be simpler than setting it in the first place. And there are a lot of options for changing support easily and without going to court.
Ah.
But even the court process is simpler when it comes to changing support. But, as always, if a parent is not sure what the correct amount of child support should be, or what is the best way to change in the circumstance, it is always good to meet with a lawyer who can explain that fully. If you need some more general family law guidance, or you need to understand Ontario family law better so you can make better decisions, if you need to know the best parenting options after separation, or if you need to better understand how finances work after separation and divorce, or if you need some tips for how best to make these difficult decisions, get a copy of my book, Guide to the Basics of Ontario Family Law. You can access it immediately on the iBookstore, on Amazon for the Kindle version, or you can download it on Kobo. Amazon can deliver the paperback version directly to your doorstep. You can also get a lot more Ontario family law information at www.schumannlaw.ca. Not only are there hundreds of pages of family law links and information, but there are links to get my book and links to reach my office to meet with either me or one of my colleagues. Because it is always best to get a lawyer who can give you expert advice that is specific to your situation. In addition to my website, keep up to date on family and children's law issues by liking my Facebook page, following me on Twitter at @SchumannFamLaw, and finding me on LinkedIn. Of course, please subscribe to my YouTube channel and hit the notification bell to keep up to date. You can also get the audio versions of the Ontario Family Law Podcast on all major podcast services, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and many more. They are also available at www.schumannlaw.ca. Just look for podcasts in the drop-down menu and pick the one you want to listen to. Thanks for listening to this podcast. We will get together again soon.